Thank you. Thank you so much. I'm really blessed to be able to come up here and share my life with you and to let you know how instrumental each and every one of you have been in helping God change me and form me. And so I would like to this morning honor someone amongst us. She is dearly loved by God, radiates his friendship in a way that encourages others continually. She is incredibly faithful, joyful in every circumstance, bold, courageous, strengthens me with her presence, believes in you when you don't believe in yourself, listens when others don't. She listens with her whole heart and makes you feel like you are the most important person in the room. She makes you smile, and she makes our Father smile. He is well pleased with her. So would you all come up here? She is you. Do you believe it? Yeah. Do you believe that you are that person? I know I didn't. I didn't believe it. And if my name had been called up to come and receive that award and be acknowledged for those things, my internal dialogue would have been, no, I'm not worthy. I don't deserve that. I couldn't accept it. Oh, I would have been embarrassed knowing that I hadn't done anything to deserve that honor. And there it is. I hadn't done. But John 15:16, God told me, you didn't choose me, I chose you. And Ephesians 1:4-6 says, and he chose me to be his very own, joining me to himself even before he laid the foundation of the universe. Because of his great love, he ordained me so that I would be seen as holy in his eyes with an unstained innocence. For it was always his perfect plan to adopt me as his delightful child through my union with Jesus, the Anointed One, so that his tremendous love cascades over me would glorify his grace for the same love that he has for his beloved, he has for me. And this unfolding plan brings him great, great, great delight. Me, I bring him. He accepted me. He accepted me, and he accepts you. And so when I started at Harvest, I was excited. But then I fell into a place where I became very resistant to any activity that was going on, very resistant to any working in children's ministry, coming to Connecting Point. If I thought you wanted me to do something, I wasn't going to do it. I thought, nope, I'm not doing it because you expect me to do it. I'm not doing it because I don't want you to like me based on the fact that I'm doing something for you. And so if anyone asked me to help, I would say no. I would just stand in the back, be all by myself, and kind of make a place where, you know, you could approach me, but I wasn't going to respond. I was not going to respond with any positive answer. My answer was always no, no, not doing it. And in my head, I justified it by saying, well, if I say yes, it'll only be performance-based. I'm only doing it because I want to gain the approval of men. I need to be a part where I'm not doing it for external gratification or, you know, because you expect me to. But that's what I thought. That wasn't what God thought, and that wasn't what others thought, but that was what I thought. And so that was my perception, And my answer was no, not doing it. And if you see how God has changed me, I mean, I love to help. I love to be involved. I love. But then, you know, I was just succumbed by fear, too. I was like, no, I'm afraid to go. What if I go there and they don't like me? What if I do it and they don't like me? When I started Connecting Point, I started coming because Anna called me and reminded me that I signed up to bring an egg dish. Well, she called me by mistake. She was trying to call Joanne Oswald. I was so insecure in my own self that I wouldn't even call her back to tell her she made a mistake and I wasn't coming. So I came to Connecting Point and brought the egg dish. Oh my gosh. It changed my life. Changed my life. I'm like, oh my gosh, how did I get here? And so I came here, I sat at a table. I wasn't going to talk to anybody. I wasn't going to share anything from inside. My answer was still no. Okay, I'm here, but I don't want to be here. I don't want to be here. I don't want to share anything with anybody. But God would not leave me alone. He saw me differently than I saw myself. He saw something in me that I didn't even know was there. And so He used others. He used Lee coming home from Japan, giving us a message one day to say, you don't know how fortunate you are to have apostles Bob and Linda to draw on. You know, we're over there in Japan, and it is so dry, and there's nobody to talk to like that. And I was sad. I felt convicted. I thought, oh my gosh, I have them right here all the time, and all I say is no. I go and I hear the word, and then I leave. I go and take it for myself. So God impacted me so strongly with that word that I was at Connecting Point, and Apostle Linda was at my table, and I just blurted out, will you mentor me? Because I didn't want to miss my opportunity. I was like, but it was motivated more by fear. I was afraid of what would happen if I didn't do it more than if I did do it. And so what I found out through that and many others, you know, beginning, that God was having me establish relationship with the people that he has connected me to. And so we began talking, and I began to step into other things. This is what I mean by stepping in. I went to First Fruits, and I sat in my chair, and I listened to Susie, and I listened to the music played, and I thought, I'm not getting up to wave a flag. I'm not going to get up and stand and dance. No way. I'm not doing that, you know, because they expect me to do it. They got to just accept me for who I am, but I will not participate. I'm not going to respond. I'm not going to help in any way, you know. It's like, oh my gosh, are you serious? And it was like that in a lot. In most everything I went to Connecting Point, I didn't want to share. At First Fruits, I wouldn't get up and wave a flag. I went to Reveal. Oh my gosh, Reveal. You know, when we have to be vulnerable and tell stuff about ourselves. Oh, and so, you know, you do it, but you don't want to do it. And so through all of it, I'm still afraid. I'm still afraid. I'm still intimidated. I'm still not confident in who God sees me as. Then He takes me to Song of Songs, and He has me begin to read it in the Passion Translation, and just read it over and over and over and over and over and over and over, not stopping. And He says, I see you. You are my beloved. I've accepted you. You're brilliant. You're beautiful. I am passionate for who you are. You ravish my heart. You make me shine. I don't want to go anywhere without you. And I'm thinking, I don't see it. But He wanted me to see it, and He wants you to see it. He wants you to know that that's who He sees you as. And one day I was driving down the road, and I said, God, you know, who do you want, how do you want me to see others? You're telling me, you know, I want you to see others like I see them. And so I said, well, how can I do that? You know, how can I see them like you see them? And he took me right to Song of Psalms, Song of Songs, and said, read this over yourself, because how you see yourself is how you are going to see others. And this is how I see you. This is how I see you. And so I'm just going to read something. I don't know, I'll tell you. He reminded me of a story of when I first got married, and I was fearful and shy and didn't want to talk to people. Pretty much the same story as most of my life that I just shared. And Don, if any of you know Don, my husband, he's extremely outgoing. He always wants to talk to everybody. He won't sit still in a chair. Won't sit. So we'd be out in a public setting. We'd be out at a party, a wedding, and I'd sit at the table, and he'd sit right next to me through dinner, and then he'd be up. Then he'd be up, and he'd be gone, and he'd be talking to his friend over here or this guy over here. He didn't even have to know him. It didn't matter. He'd be talking to him. And I'd be stuck at the table, and I'd think, hey, you brought me here. You should be paying attention to me. I'm your wife. Come talk to me. He didn't. He didn't stay there. And so I know now, by the grace of God, one day he said, when Don gets up, he had me think, when Don gets up at that party, I'm going to jump right up, and I'm going to stick my arm in his, and wherever he goes, I'm going. He's not leaving me behind. He's not going to leave me sit at that table, and I'm not going to miss out on everything he has for me. I don't want to miss out, because he has all the fun, and I don't get any of it. I don't get any of the fun. And so I was still afraid. I still didn't even want to talk to anybody he talked to, but I just didn't want to be left sitting at that table. And God showed me that's how he is. His arm is right there. It's right there all the time. And he's with me right now. I'm holding his arm. He's holding me here. I'm not, like, doing anything on my own. He's the one. He's the one who gave me the strength and the courage and the ability and the desire to come up and share. You know, it was like, God, I don't want to talk to. I don't even want to say I don't want to talk to. But he made me understand that he deposited in me something that he wants you to have, and he wants you to have, and he wants you to have. And so am I willing? Will I grab hold of his arm so that I can share it with you? My answer is yes. And so I think, how did you change me from being that person who said no, 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 I'm not going to do it, to yes? He had me at First Fruits get a flag that I can't say no anymore. I'm like, now it's time for you to say yes. Now it's time for you to say yes. You know I've accepted you. You know I have given you who I am. I love you. I want you. I desire you. Don't refuse me. Say yes to me. And so at First Fruits, when I would think, oh, I should get up and wave a flag, I would be so self-conscious, so embarrassed, so nervous that I was being judged and, you know, whatever, about how I was doing it. Was I doing it right? Was I doing it wrong? Did I wave it too high, too low, anything like that? But I just said yes anyways, and just said yes, yes, yes. When I first came to Harvest, they had a dance team, and I wanted to be on it. I was really excited about it. And there was a big sign-up thing in the multipurpose room where you could go to. They had stations for all the things that you were able to sign up for. And I determined I was going into that dance team sign-up. And there were a lot of people who wanted to do the dance team. So I didn't press through the crowd. I didn't step in and say, sign me up, sign me up. The line was long and went on and on. And so I just backed away. I didn't pursue my passion. I didn't grab hold of God's arm when he offered it to me. And so when I was 60, Susie said, hey, why don't you come be on the prophetic arts team? I thought, what? Why would you want me to dance now? 20 years ago, I had good balance. I could stand up. I could wave the flag. I was strong. But you didn't put me on that dance team. I would have had instruction. They would have gave me steps. Now you just want me to be free. Do what the Spirit moves you to do. I'm like, oh my gosh. I said yes. And so it just doesn't matter. It matters to God. It matters that I know and you know he accepts you. He is happy with what you're doing. He's the one who's bringing that change. And, you know, we did life groups. We did, we've all been encouraged to have, you know, have an encounter with God, have an encounter with God, have an encounter with God. And I know I had one encounter with God that was really impactful. But until I started to put down what I wanted to share with you today, I didn't realize how many encounters I've had with God over the past decade. And today, it's like now we're in the new decade, a new decade of possibility and a new decade of my lens becoming his lens. He wants me to see myself like he sees me. He wants you to see that you're accepted. And not only that, I went to a conference with Dolly and Diana and Don in April of last year. And it was called Global Awakening, and it was an impartation from Randy Clark, who has just a global healing ministry. And I felt really strong. God, I know you want me to go receive impartation. I'm going to lay hands on people and heal. And that's what I want. I really want that. And I went to the conference, and it was very powerful. And he had lots to share, and there was much impartation. And what I got was a song they sang that said, you, God, you delight in me. And that song meant more to me than any other word that was spoken that day. And I thought, what? I was singing that song so loud. I was screaming that song. You delight in me. You delight in me. Oh, my gosh. He likes me. He likes me. God likes me. He delights in me. And I thought, is that even in the Bible? So, I mean, I had to go home and look it up because I didn't know that it was in the Bible, that God delights in me. So that was the impact of the conference for me, that he delights in me. And since that day, I just feel like I can come here and I can share myself because he likes me. He likes me and he wants me to share myself with whoever he puts in my path because he's in me. He's in me and he's in you. And he says, I'm brilliant, I'm smart, I'm beautiful, I'm confident. Doesn't matter if I think so. But I am going to think so because he says so. Because he says so, and I'm accepting. It doesn't matter if I get it all today, because probably that's not going to happen. It doesn't matter, but I will get it all today because all I have to do is respond to him with my yes. With my yes. You said that about me, so that is who I am. And I just wanted to tell you one more story about Connecting Point, how when I was mentoring with Apostle Linda, you know, she says, have you ever considered, you know, talking to women? I was like, well, no. No, of course not. And then before you know it, Anna's calling me and said, you know, I was talking to Apostle Linda, and she thought maybe you'd like to be a leader of a table. And I thought, oh, my gosh. Why did I ever say I would mentor with her? Still at the no, you know, but anyways, I didn't say no. So Anna was sharing with me, you know, what it would be like to be a table leader and how they have meetings and they get together and they talk about stuff before the meeting and just the leaders. And then, you know, there's an armor bearer if I wasn't confident enough to do the table, take the lead of the table myself right away. And I said, well, I want to come to the Tuesday meetings with all the leaders. That was my motivation. Sorry, I mean, it wasn't because I was looking to help someone else. I was looking to help myself. I want to be at that meeting, and if I'm an armor bearer, I don't think I can come. So that was how I ended up leading a table at Connecting Point, because I said yes so that I could go to the Tuesday meetings and hear what everybody was going to talk about. And then the first day came when I was actually going to lead a table, and I was just a wreck. I was so nervous because people get to choose where they're going to sit. And I thought, what if nobody chooses me? And that, it's a fear. I mean, you're just thinking, you know, like when you are getting picked for a team or picked for anything, you want to be chosen. God chose you. It gives you value and it gives you worth. And he wants you to know that he chose you and you are valuable to him. You have so much worth. And it doesn't matter if anybody else chooses you. Even though it does matter, it does matter. I mean, you still feel all that rejection and disqualification. And, you know, we put it on ourselves. We put it on others. But God chose us. And my first Connecting Point meeting, Beverly sat down at my table and she said, I'm sitting here because you were afraid no one would choose you. And so I was like, oh my gosh. And so she exemplified the love of God through herself, and that's how he changes us all. She chose me, and she chose me. And he chooses me, and he has chosen you. I want to read you something that from Song of Songs. Listen, my radiant one. Let me tell you how I see you. You are so thrilling to me, marked with my redeeming grace. You stand out from all the rest. When I look at you, I see how you have taken my fruit and tasted my word. Your life has become clean and pure. Your lips are as lovely as Rahab's scarlet ribbon, speaking mercy and speaking grace. The words of your mouth are refreshing as an oasis. What pleasure you bring to me. I have gathered from your heart my equal, my bride. I have tasted and enjoyed my wine within you. I have tasted with pleasure my pure milk, my honeycomb, which you yield to me. I delight in gathering my sacred spice, all the fruits of my life I have gathered from within you, my paradise garden. You are truly royalty. You walk so gracefully in my ways, displaying such dignity. You are truly the poetry of God, his very handiwork. Out of your innermost being flows the fullness of my spirit, never failing to satisfy. Your thoughts are full of life, wisdom, and virtue. As I count the delights you bring to me, love has become the greatest. And my response to him, our response to him is, I am truly his rose. The very theme of his song, I am in him and he is in me. So thank you. You're going to do the Sila? Now we're going to have a... Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. We have a song for you to just sit and soak. And during your Sila moment, or no?
Leaders, take your sheets that have the questions and hand them out face down so that they have a blank sheet in front of them.
In the Word, God said, let me tell you how I see you. And Joanne's given us so many illustrations of that. But God says, let me tell you how I see you. This is not how we see ourselves. So in our Sila moment, we're going to ask that very question and then let God do it. Maybe he'll give you words. They'll be descriptive words. Write them down. But maybe he'll have you draw a picture, because many times a picture says more than many words. So allow him to do that. This isn't something you have to show anybody else. It doesn't have to be, you know, artistically creative. But let him show you how he sees you. Don't hold back.
This song I'm going to play for you is called The Inheritance. And it's a combination of song and prophetic declaration of God's word from Graham Cook that he's going to speak over you. So just open your heart and receive it.
Just receive this. We won't start our Sila until after this is over, okay? Just receive.
The Lord says that there is nothing that you can do that would make him love you more. There is also nothing you can do that would make him love you less. He loves you because he loves you, 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 because that is what he is like. It is his nature to love. And you will always be the beloved. And his love is unchanging. And he loves you 100%. He won't love you any better when you become better. He loves you 100% right now. And even if you have no plans to become better, he will still love you 100%. Because he loves you, because that's the way that he is. And even if you don't want to change, he will love you 100%. Even if you have no plans to walk with him, he will love you 100%. Because that's his nature. He loves all the way, all the time. His love is unchanging. What will change, says the Lord, is your ability to receive my love. And this evening, I want to cram some more of that ability inside you. So I challenge you, says the Lord, open your heart to me. Open your heart to me. And you will receive more of my love than you've ever experienced before. I dare you, says the Lord. Come on, open your heart to me. Give me your heart. Give me whatever your obstacle is. I'll take it. I'll remove it out of the way. Because I love you as you are right now. I love you 100% as you are right this moment. I love you as you are. So be loved. You are the beloved. It is your job, says the Lord, to be loved outrageously. It is why I chose you. That's why I set my love upon you. That you would live as one who is outrageously loved. That you would receive a radical love. So radical, it'll blow all your paradigms of what you think love is. And know, says the Lord, I will love you outrageously all the days of your life. Because I don't know how to be any different. This is who I am. And this is who I will always be. This is the I am that I promised you. I am he that loves you outrageously. And you may love me back with the love that I give you. You may love me back outrageously with the outrageous love that I bestow upon you. And know this, says the Lord, you can only love me as much as you love yourself. So my love comes this evening to set you free from yourself, to set you free from how you see yourself, to set you free from the smallness of your own thinking about yourself. My love comes to set you free from rejection and from shame and from low self-esteem and from despair and from abuse. Because when I look at you, says the Lord, I see something that I love. I see someone that I can love outrageously. And I have so much to bestow upon you, so much to give you, so many places to take you in my heart. But you can't go there unless you allow me to love you. And my love for you will break every barrier, bring every wall crashing down. And know this, says the Lord, my love damages fear. My love hates fear. My love will fight fear. It will fight fear in you. It will fight fear around you. And if you have fear this evening, says the Lord, then know that you have a treat in store, because my perfect love casts out fear. There is no fear where I am present, because my love casts out fear. Beloved, you are my beloved. You are my beloved. And in my love, I want you to feel good about yourself.
Sees me as his beauty. it's not so hard to love me. So come and teach me how to love me. Come and teach me how to love me. Come and teach me how to love me.